Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Open. If you want to join us here, we're kicking off the third hour of this live Saturday edition. Coming up a little bit later on tonight, Beer Talk Live is, I think, going to come back this week. There were some technical difficulties last week that prevented things from happening the way they normally do. And we believe we have remedied those issues, so fingers crossed.
Thanks to our crack team of producers.
Hey, I don't use crack. But we did get the job done, we think. So you'll find out tonight at 10:30 Eastern here on our video streaming platform. So if you're on the radio, sorry, you won't hear Beard Talk Live because it is uncensored. There are no FCC censors involved. We don't have the dump machine. It's not active during Beard Talk Live. It's video only. You can obviously listen to the audio feed, but you have to tune into one of our video platforms. And we prefer Odyssey, so just go to watch.freetalklive.com at 10:30 Eastern Time tonight, and you'll be able to see Beard Talk Live.
And I just want to say while we're on this show, thank you to Free Talk Live for providing us the infrastructure to do this show. There have been some folks who, you know how people are in the chats. They're rude and kind of thing. So there's been some folks like, well, fix your damn stream. And it's like, okay, but we do this for no pay. There's no money behind this. It's a completely voluntary thing. So we appreciate Free Talk Live allowing us to use their infrastructure to do this show.
Well, and it's thanks to listeners like Machine3125, who is a diamond-level supporter on Free Talk Live. And I believe that is $50 a month. So thank you. We only ask for five. So
diamond. Nice.
Machine3125 is doing 10 times what we ask for. So thank you so much for the support. Machine3125 is a member of our AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way for you to directly support what we do here on Free Talk Live. Unfortunately, at this time, due to bail conditions and such, I can't touch cryptocurrency, so we can't take crypto donations at this time. But we can still use the centralized banking system as long as it lasts. So you can donate to that over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's our Patreon system, amps.freetalklive.com. We're going to go back to your calls and thoughts here. It's Ian, Captain Kickass, Peakless Mountaineer. We also got Greg from New York here with
us. Everyone.
But let's talk first to Gigi in South Carolina. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Gigi.
Good evening, everybody.
Yes, Gigi.
I find it so interesting, and I'm saying this facetiously, and I hope all of our wonderful listeners across this good old U.S. of A. are listening. Are we going to find out in the near future that somehow, some way, at some point in time, Dr. Fauci knew exactly what was going on and that people were coerced, and I underline that word, into multiple boosters, vaccinations, and lockdowns of this economy? What do you think, guys?
I mean, I think at least the three of us, I don't want to speak for you guys, but I already knew all of that and have known that for some time and been telling people for some time. So do the facts now, support what I at least have been saying here on Free Talk Live since the whole thing kicked off? I think
three
yes.
3 years ago.
I think yes is my answer. You guys?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. I interrupted.
No, go ahead, Gigi.
Oh, thank you, sir. And my other point of contention is, why did it take the Justice Department 2 years to investigate and come up with 86 stupid pages on the Louisville Metro Police Department for being, shall we say, irresponsible and unfit to protect and serve, as you guys always
emphasize. What are you referring to?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with this story.
Louisville. The police department, the Department of Justice came out with Merrick Garland at its head all over the media, every form of media all this past week, saying that the Louisville Police Department for the past 2 years has been unfit to protect and serve, and I'm paraphrasing now, towards black residents and people of color, and they are basing it on what happened with Breonna Taylor's murder. My question is, why should it matter whether Breonna Taylor is black, Chinese, polka dot, or pink? The fact that she was killed by reckless cops.
Well, what are they going to do? I mean, they came out with a report, and I do have their press release here, which came out on Wednesday of this week. Justice Department finds civil rights violations by the Louisville Metro PD and the county metro government.
Right. So now what are they going to do to clean it up? That's the question.
Nothing.
I agree with you.
Nothing at all.
Nothing going to happen.
So there are reasons that these things take so long. One of them is just pure incompetence. This is government we're talking about. You don't get to fire them,
correct.
So they have no incentive to be efficient. Now, the other reason is that they, and this also ties into your question with Fauci, with any of this, while people care about it, they cannot admit the truth. As soon as people don't care about it, then they can admit the truth.
Mm. And not only they don't care about it, but they're intimidated to not really caring that much. I mean, some people can accept this in other countries. Like if you ask them, hey, what does the Russian public think about the war in Ukraine? They're going to say, well, they're intimidated. They can't tell you what they think, right? But they don't realize that in this country, which, by the way, has the greatest freedom of speech of any country, and even Noam Chomsky, who I interviewed, is a big critic of the United States. I got him to admit that freely. Mm-hmm. That just goes to show how bad government is in other places in the world.
Sure.
Okay? That this is the best and the most freedom of speech. People are still very reluctant to go and really go up against institutions like the police, or in this case, Dr. Fauci and the... let me just say this one thing.
Again, thanks, DG, for the call. I do appreciate it.
Thanks, DG.
The corporations are working with the government. So the pharma companies, last time we saw them lobby the government is when they literally wrote Medicare Part D under W. Bush. Okay, they literally, that where they said that Medicare cannot negotiate against the drug companies. Like every other country, the NHS in the UK negotiates drug price. Like everyone negotiates, but then here, no. Because the lobbyists wrote the bill, the pharma, and then the aides, the way it works is the aides of these Congress people, they're the ones writing the bill, the congressperson themselves.
Yeah, they don't write it.
And then these aides go and work for the pharma afterwards, which is what happened with Medicare Part D. Now
the revolving door.
The revolving door, and they have the same. Matt Taibbi had a great article.
Great writer.
Why isn't Wall Street in jail? This was after 2008.
That was an article that made a huge impact on me.
Yeah,
I read that article and I was like, "This is spot on," and I've been a fan of Taibbi since then.
So yeah, industries—that's regulatory capture. Go ahead, sorry.
Just real quick, and this is why, as soon as they're done being politicians, these big pharma companies, for example, will hire them to speak at their offices for unbelievably huge fees.
Sure.
That's right. So I'm saying this should be an issue that, you know, people on the left used to say because it was W. Bush. They only seem to complain when the other guy is in charge, right?
And Fauci, of course, has been in multiple administrations. I mean, he's a true bureaucrat. He's not a political. I mean, I'm sure he's political in order to get his position. But he existed whether it was Trump or whether it was Biden or whether it was, you know, whoever the hell else in office. He's been there for 40 years or something like that before he finally retired. And so, you know, normally, government bureaucracy does drag its feet on doing investigations and coming out with the truth. A lot of times they wait until someone has passed away. That way they can be held to zero account for their actions. Somebody else apologizes on their behalf 20 years later or something like that. It's brushed under the rug. A few news articles come out and business goes, quote unquote, business goes on as it normally would.
And they have this phrase, mistakes were made. Very passive voice.
Right.
Right.
By whom? Yeah. By whom? By you guys. So, that was the.
But they would never make more mistakes. We're really a good government now.
Well, this is the thing. We are a democracy. So what happens is, the previous party is the ones that made all the mistakes.
Right.
We're in charge now. So whatever they did, they're out now. Don't talk about George W.
Even
Bush.
Though all
don't
the
talk about Obama.
Are exactly the same as they were under the previous administration. Well, we changed out a few heads of departments, and so now everything's different.
Right.
Sure.
Everyone always says, what is it, Biden? Obama lifted the embargo on Cuba, right? He lifted it. I remember him on Jimmy Kimmel being like, reading the mean tweets, bro, do you even lift? And he's like, well, I lifted the embargo on Cuba.
That was the right thing to do in that case.
What is Cuba, in fact, what danger does Cuba present to us? Do they have nukes?
Nothing. They're starving.
Like, what exactly are we defending against?
Do they make great cigars?
Right. And then Trump comes in, removes it. But then Biden, right, his VP, Obama's VP, keeps it in place. Like, and the same with the migrants, the same with a lot of things. So they say they're going to do something. They come in, they don't do it. And then it turns out you're just as bad as the previous guys. Anyway, that's my rant for what's going on.
Nice.
Let's continue here. We have Rob in Vermont. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a chance to meet Greg a couple of days ago, and, you know, off air we were talking about Ross Perot.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask him, and I know I've asked it on the show before, but I don't remember if I asked Greg. If he had won the election, where would we be today?
Perot? Ross Perot. So for the listeners who don't know, Ross Perot was...
Ross Perot.
He's like a billionaire. I think he was a French descent. He was a short guy. And, you know, most of our
Texas,
presidents...
Texas, right? Wasn't he Texas?
Texas, yeah.
Texas. Most of our presidents are pretty tall, as you can tell. It's like one of the statistics, right?
Yeah.
And here he is, like the short guy next to Bill Clinton and, like... You know, William Jefferson Clinton and Bush Senior. And so...
A businessman, though, not a politician.
A businessman.
Right? Yeah.
And his whole thing, he was saying the same thing that Trump was saying in different words. He was saying, NAFTA's bad. We shouldn't have free trade like we have here. We should... Mexico is, you know, unfairly...
Well, let's be clear. Yeah. Now, I don't know what Perot is saying, but NAFTA isn't free trade. Anything that requires thousands of pages of regulations isn't free trade. Free trade is the absence of regulation.
When that was all going down, I'm trying to remember the comedian who said it, but a free trade agreement should sound something like this. You are free to trade with whomever you like.
Yep. End of story.
And that's it.
That would be one sentence. That would
page.
Be true prosperity for us and for other peoples around the world. You mentioned Cuba. That is one of the least free areas as far as trading with the United States. There's been a prohibition on that for a very long time, and that has harmed the people of Cuba and as well as the people of the United States.
And that's the intent. The intent is to make them suffer enough that they will overthrow their government to a government that we like, and then we take off the sanctions.
To get back to our first story, the biggest reason why they have to target Cuba is because the Cuban monetary system is not compatible with all of our banking nonsense.
Hmm.
It's the same reason that they target North Korea. It's the same reason that they target all of these Muslim countries that actually use their religious observance, unlike Saudi Arabia, to not have loans at interest.
Right. The ban on usury is still very high in Islamic countries. But look, let's take North Korea as an example. What do people know about North Korea except it's a part of the axis of evil, according to George W. Bush? Well, let me tell you something about that. The previous president, that William Jefferson Clinton, who won, I know we were talking about Perot. By the way, Perot invested in Steve Jobs' company, and that's how Steve Jobs came back. But let's go back. So... William Jefferson Clinton made a deal with North Korea and the president of it, Kim Jong-il, at the time, that they would not develop nukes. It was very similar to the JCPOA, the Iran deal that Obama did, except back then they said, listen, we're going to take off some sanctions, we're going to give you a little breathing room, and in return you won't develop nukes. We're not your enemy. And guess what? They made a deal. They actually shook on it. The next administration, because we have a democracy, the next administration was a different party. They said this deal is appeasement. It's too expensive to give North Korea things like not banning their trade. And so we're going to get a better deal, just like Trump said about the Iran deal. And then the next thing is they got a nuke. So not the next thing. So for years they neglected the deal on both sides until North Korea kind of got fed up, and they probably got a nuke from like either Ukrainian or Russian like scientists, I don't know. And then they went on to give Syria nuclear secrets, and Syria was building some nukes, and Israel apparently had to fly out and bomb a Syrian nuclear reactor, which 2006. It was called the Operation Orchard.
I want to go back to Rob's question about Ross Perot. I would say this, Rob: if Ross Perot got elected, it would be pretty much meaningless because he's just one guy. And this is the same answer that I would give if somebody asked the question about, you know, Ron Paul getting elected. I think Ron Paul would be more effective because he's got some principles. He could withdraw troops from around the world, so I think it would look better with Ron Paul. But Ron Paul can't pass legislation on his own. Ross Perot wouldn't be able to either. So you would need to have like a sea change in Congress in order to actually have anything significant change there in D.C., which, of course, impossible to actually
To add one important thing. The free trade agreement, right? I saw Al Gore debate Ross Perot. Like, they set up the vice president to debate Ross Perot afterwards. And in the debate, Al Gore was giving examples where producers were, consumers in the United States were benefiting from free trade. And Ross Perot was giving examples where producers in the United States were being harmed by free trade. The short answer is, as a producer, you're harmed by free trade because the entire world competes with you. But as a consumer, you win from free trade because the entire world competes to give you cheaper stuff.
Right. So it just plus, it's a short-sighted view to say that as a producer, you're harmed by free trade. It certainly does bring competition into your market, but you also benefit from free trade on the supply side as far as your vendors and the things that you can buy make the things that you're
most
making.
Most producers have inputs.
You can reduce your costs and things like that. Thank you, Rob, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Let's talk to go ahead.
Just one quick addendum there. So I think that if Ron Paul had gotten elected, he would have been assassinated because he would have ended wars.
Yeah.
Whereas Ross Perot would have been somewhere between there and what we got with Trump, which was totally ineffective.
Yeah. Let's talk to Major Payne in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live, Major.
Yeah, the Ross Perot thing. He was a businessman, not a politician.
Yeah, but a lot of politicians say that crap. And
Trump
also. You know, that's what Mitt Romney says. it's BS.
It's a different mindset when you come from the business world and you've had to go through all the skullduggery.
Yeah, but we hear this all the time that, oh, these business people. There's always somebody running in an election that uses this line of, I'm not a politician, I'm a businessman. And then if they get elected, they turn out to be just like every other politician.
I can name three people right now. We've got Imran Khan in Pakistan. He was a footballer, huge following. They want to put him in jail. You could look it up. Pakistan's economy is going to the ground right now because of their borrowing. Then you also have Zelensky. Zelensky was an actor.
He's
an actor, just like
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. So you got these people who come in, and I think it's a major selling point for a lot of their base, though. Hey, look at this actor.
I know how to run a business, so therefore I can run this thing that absolutely is nothing like a business. Right. It has the reverse incentive.
That's the point I was going to make.
You're talking about attractive face people. Ross Perot was a goofy-looking little fella with big ears.
Yeah, he was a mousy-looking dude. But here's the thing. Governments.
Zelensky,
Major,
too, though. He's pretty short.
Went and actually voted for as president.
Okay, Major.
He impressed me.
Hang on just a second, Major. Government cannot be run like a business because it is a monopoly on the initiation of violence. There is no incentive for government to be run like a business. So putting a businessman in charge of government isn't going to result in
the other thing is the businessman is used to running his business as a king a lot of the time. So like Trump, Trump is a special case because his businesses went bankrupt a lot of the time. So it's like, let me be in charge of your economy.
So in that way, he was kind of perfect for a president.
I wouldn't want a person whose companies run into the ground to then run the economy of the country. But no, Trump has a thing where he usually wants, while he's there, to make it rain money, right? He wants it to be great. He made the Taj Mahal in Atlantic City the greatest, biggest, baddest casino ever, and then it went bankrupt afterwards. Mm. So, like, you got to watch out because you rev the engine too much, and then the next president has to tighten the belt, and we see what's going on now.
Yeah.
So the government spending is out of control sometimes with these business people. Go ahead. Yeah.
You guys know the story about the pebble in the pool. When you throw a rock in the lake, the ripples, it affects everybody all around the little puddle there, right?
Yeah.
Washington is a cesspool, no doubt.
Sure.
But Trump was a pebble that got thrown in there. And I think we could have thrown that pebble in there 20 years before. And that
didn't make any difference.
The best thing Trump ever did was not start any new wars.
That's true. I'll give him that. And he did actually try to make peace over at North Korea, since we were speaking of North Korea. He was the first president to actually ever visit over there and meet with their president. But
that was nice. He said some love letters. Clinton actually got a peace agreement in place, done. Yeah. And they next party completely threw
but
it out.
Trump didn't change anything of significance, Major. He just went in there and he brought in the same swamp monsters or a different set of swamp monsters, and the whole talk about draining the swamp was BS.
He was not properly advised, and he thought...
Oh, there's always an excuse.
He hired Goldman Sachs. The first thing he did...
I'm not making excuses. The only person to ever come into the White House and throw everybody out and bring in his own cabinet and everything else, I think, was Henry Harrison. And that was a long damn time ago, and that was just after the Civil War when mistrust was higher than hell. Sometimes you've got to depend on your underlings to a certain percent, especially when you're sitting in the highest damn seat in the land. Come on.
Yeah, that's all we ever hear from Trump supporters is excuses.
Who picked his underlings? Who picked his underlings? He did.
Like I said, he should have dismissed them all.
He didn't.
Yeah, Trump basically called everyone he ever appointed losers, but he appointed them, including the chairman of the Fed, including the judges that later he called so-called judges, and even Kavanaugh was
Fauci.
Yeah, Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh said, I regret that Trump said this. And then all of the judges he appointed throughout a lot of the court cases where he was like, this didn't work out and that didn't work out and this was rigged and that was rigged. And they were like, actually, we don't have enough evidence. Giuliani couldn't bring enough evidence. So even though, as a libertarian, but I look at the facts, right? The only one who was a true blue believer is Sidney Powell, and like they sidelined her because they got all the money from their they got those emails. I remember those emails. Send us money. Why? You're no longer president. No, but send us money to defend against this thing.
You're right.
But they didn't give it to Sidney Powell, the one who was actually doing it. Giuliani had no evidence, and he said in court, I think so. It looks that way to me.
Thank you, Major, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. We got time for you if you want to dial in right now. It's the Live Saturday episode here on Free Talk Live. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online, of course, anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com. Enjoy the various features we have there for you. Once again, freetalklive.com. We continue here. The number is 603-283-6160. Live Saturday episode. This is Free Talk Live. We're coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
U.S. USA News Update. Employees of Silicon Valley Bank are still receiving annual bonuses, despite regulators seizing the failing bank yesterday. At least two people are dead as flooding intensifies in California. Thousands are under evacuation orders, and several communities remain isolated by high water. The first-ever 3D-printed rocket was scrubbed in its second launch attempt today. The launch of Relatively Space's rocket was scrubbed in the last hour of the launch window. A volcano watch has been issued in Alaska. Seismologists say that a swarm of earthquakes in the Aleutian Islands could signal an upcoming volcanic eruption. There have been dozens of small earthquakes since Tuesday near the Tananga volcano, which has been dormant for more than 100 years. Scream 6 is besting the competition at the box office. The horror film is looking to overtake Creed 3 after grossing over $19 million on its opening day. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Phones are open. We got enough time for you if you want to join us now. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And you can join us online, of course, over at freetalklive.com. And enjoy the various features that we have there for you. Once again, that is freetalklive.com. And here in the studio tonight, it is me, Ian.
Greg from New York.
The Reverend Captain Kickass is here.
And outside of our studio,
Peekless Mountaineer.
Indeed. So we're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts. And I know, Peekless, you've got some breaking news I think that you want to share. But first, let's bring TJ the Spy on the line from Colorado. Go ahead, TJ.
Greetings, my friends. And I just wanted to say that the DEA has really created an impact nationwide with this Adderall shortage.
The DEA? What did they do?
Yeah. Well, they restricted the number of prescriptions that can be written, so there's a nationwide shortage of Adderall. You can't get it at any of the pharmacies.
How does restricting, forgive me, I don't know how the DEA interfaces with pharmacies and all that. I know they regulate them to some extent, but how would them restricting the number of prescriptions that can be written restrict this actual supply of the pills?
So they actually have production quotas for the manufacturers. The DEA Office of Diversion Control, they issue quotas on controlled substances like opioids, stimulants like Adderall, methylphenidate, benzodiazepines, and as a result of the COVID epidemic, a lot of people have went in and said, I can't concentrate or focus, and have, you know, we've run out. And I know this because I take two medicines, Zoloft, which is an antidepressant, and aripiprazole, which is Abilify, that's an antipsychotic, and they work great. They've allowed me to get a job. And, you know, I haven't been fired in 6 months, so that's like a huge achievement for me, just being able to show up and go to work and earn money for James.
Wow.
But the problem is those drugs make me very sleepy, and my boss was saying, you're drifting off to sleep standing up at your desk. And so they gave me Adderall, and Adderall is a powerful stimulant, keeps me awake, and it works really well to let me focus at work. But all of a sudden, I went to the pharmacy one day, and they said, we don't have any, and we're not getting any more until April.
Damn. What are you going to do?
Well, it's funny enough, my doctor substituted modafinil, and modafinil has a special place in Robin Hood or James Cleveland's heart, because that's what he was arrested with in Dinwiddie County, Virginia.
That's right. I remember
that. So when I was actually, you know, when I first was dating him, he had that charge, you know, of possession of modafinil without a prescription, even though he had a prescription. And I had to go down to Dinwiddie, and it was a very gloomy courthouse, but we had to get his record expunged so that when he would go in for a job background check, it wouldn't show up.
Wow.
You know, I was just about to give a rant on how people are medicating a lot of the population when they don't need it. It sounds like it's definitely helpful for you, and there's a lot of people who are getting it recreationally, though. A lot of the people, college students, are getting Adderall who don't necessarily need it as much as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an overdiagnosis. You go to my co-founder, his mom is a psychiatrist, right? And I found out psychiatrist is someone who prescribes drugs. A psychologist is someone who, you know, talks with you
that's
through your
therapy.
Yeah. Right. Therapy.
Right.
So my sort of little rant about this, and later I want to, is that, you know, a lot of people use these drugs recreationally, and a lot of doctors are willing to just go ahead and write them out. Even to kids, they are now doing it with kids.
You wouldn't believe I had to jump through teeth. It's like, doc, look, I'm very happy to take the first two medicines. They work, but they just make me really sleepy, and I can't, you know, I can't wake up in the morning, and it's just... Well, you know, modafinil works just as well, and it's, you know, central nervous system stimulant, and it works
addictive,
to keep me awake.
Also,
it's not used to treat ADHD, but it's used to treat narcolepsy, which I don't have, but the symptoms are close enough. So,
let me ask you a question, by the way, because I'm a big believer that a lot of these things can be also addressed by upstream interventions. So, you have medical intervention. You know, you could put obviously. A drug
I'm
in your
on the
body.
Ketamine as well. Every 90 days for $400, they'll give you two shots in the arm, and you just feel a heck of a lot less depressed.
That's right.
I said even after the $400, you know, insurance won't cover it copay. It's like this. I kind of view everything in terms of cost, and I don't mind spending $400, $500 on a medical procedure, but what I want is to not be depressed for several months.
Let me ask you a question. Where do you live, by the way? Is it what state?
Live in Denver, Colorado, and I've lived with Ian, you know, through the first FBI raid, and I didn't want to get through the second FBI raid, and I knew he was selling Bitcoin, so.
Well, the reason I ask is because in some places, when it gets cold, there's seasonal affective disorder, right? When things are.
Oh, yes. I'm very aware of SAD, and. I have what's called major depressive disorder, severe with mood congruent psychotic features, which the long in the nutshell is depression and inanimate objects like doorknobs talk to me saying that I need to kill myself. And, you know, it gets annoying, like, because if somebody's mean to me, you know, I can walk away from them, but I can't walk away from the toaster or the microwave oven or the refrigerator.
Right.
If it's talking to you. And more importantly, I wish the doorknobs would just say, positive things. Like, you know, if they said, like, come on, you got this.
You can do it, TJ.
You can do it. You know, you're.
Well, those cost extra. You got to buy the money.
Effort, soldier.
I think that's a different drug.
I wouldn't mind that one bit. Yeah. If I had inanimate objects talking to me saying positive things, but. You know, I mean.
Well, I'm not a psychiatrist, and I'm not a Scientologist. Who they don't like psychiatrists. But I have a question: how often do you engage in exercise? Do you do it daily? Like, do you go for a run?
Pretty much daily with my job as a I work in a warehouse, so I do pallet jack and move things and pack golf balls and golf apparel for $21 an hour, and.
Do you count that as exercise when you're walking around a warehouse?
Yeah, a big warehouse. I count that as bending
that's exercise,
over.
But it's a warehouse. Do you work for Amazon?
I don't. I work for a small company. I won't say which one it is because I don't want to have everybody showing up. Hey, did you know that TJ the Spy works here? And like very few people there know that I worked at the NSA.
Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping that it's a little better than the Amazon. Because, again, my little rant about capitalist, corporatist, you know, things. The warehouse workers at Amazon's warehouses are just, they can pee in a bottle, but they can't take a bathroom break. I hope it's not the same in your case.
Oh, no. That's one thing I wanted. Because I'm fine, if. There's a job that they say, look, this has to be manned 24/7. You cannot leave your post without being relieved. I'm going to want $25-$30 an hour for a job like that.
I think Peekless Mountaineer is trying to get in here. Go ahead, Peekless. What did you have to say about this?
Yeah, I wanted to get back to the original point where you pointed out that it's harder and harder for an adult who can make their own determinations and has decided that this is a helpful medicine to them. It is harder for them to get these stimulants, whereas children who they are programming, they want them to pay attention at any cost, mm-hmm. so they can very easily be prescribed these medications. Mm-hmm. Whereas you, they would rather you twist in the wind because that generates more corporate income.
Right,
because
they got to get that indoctrination in and make sure the kids are paying attention to it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, I can understand because Adderall is only one methyl group away from methamphetamine. I have it tattooed on the side of my body, and I was thinking about a molecule that I'd be willing to go to jail for, and one of them is MDMA or ecstasy or 3,4-methylenedioxymethamphetamine, whichever you want to call it. And my argument to the jury would be, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of suicidal combat veterans with PTSD, and nothing that legal that they've tried has worked. So it's time to take the illegal drugs, the 3,4,5-trimethoxyphenethylamines, that's your mescalines and your LSDs and your mushrooms and your
cocaine.
TJ, have you looked online for the Adderall? I mean, I know you're saying it's hard to get a prescription, but how's the dark net looking these days? Have you ever taken a look?
Honestly, God bless Mexico. And I told Ricardo, the documentarian of the Ballad of the Crypto Six, but I went on to him online Mexican pharmacy, and yes, I did source some Adderall substitute, I'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
But
Adderall substitute, are you talking about like a generic alternative?
I'm talking about the methylated cousin, which, according to Dr. Carl Hart, he said methamphetamine and amphetamine, when you look at the brain activity and the heart rate and the blood pressure, they do exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is one carbon and 3 hydrogens.
Is it cheaper down there, too, from the Mexican pharmacy?
Oh, yeah, $60. So methamphetamine, legal methamphetamine in the United States, is $3,000 a gram. It's sold as Desoxin as a brand name.
Mm-hmm.
It's made by Recordati Rare Pharma. And there's about 30,000 prescriptions for methamphetamine in the United States. People take essentially crystal meth legally, medicinally, because their doctor says so. But down there in Mexico, they're only charging $60 a gram in Bitcoin. So
this is for actual methamphetamine in Mexico or the other stuff?
Yes. Methamphetamine from Mexico.
Now, is that doesn't sound like it would be legal to ship across the border, right? I mean, that's what's
the legality? Well, not without
there?
The government's permission. I mean, it's that's illegal right. to import drugs without the government's
permission.
Did
you permission. See how Bernie Sanders took people across the border to Canada for insulin? The price of insulin in this country was a lot higher than it was just over the border in Canada.
I mean, so this stuff has to get through customs then, right? And that means you're probably going to lose some shipments. Wouldn't that result in potential investigations? I mean, this seems like
it's funny because, you know, it's funny. I went online and talked to a French doctor, and he wrote a French prescription and had some benzodiazepine shipped in from France through the post. Mm-hmm. And they were, in a discreet box. I mean, the problem is there's too many packages to inspect.
Mm-hmm.
They can't open them all. And, if they do and find a small, personal use shipment, they're not going to care and make a big federal case out of it. Unless you're Ian Freeman and sell Bitcoin, in which case the IRS and the ATF and the postal inspectors and the DEA and the FBI.
Well, TJ, thanks for the call. Thanks for the drug update. Definitely appreciate the info, and thanks for weighing in on that. Let's continue here. Sarah's in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yes, I just want to finish up my train of thought from yesterday. So are these natural remedies that help with cardiovascular or...
Do you have anything for Adderall users that could be useful to them?
Well, I don't know what that is, but I'm talking about natural substances right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you. You're the expert here on natural substances, at least you purport to be. And so we just had a guy calling in say that Adderall, which is a stimulant, as I understand it, is hard to get, that it's getting more and more restricted. The supply is restricted artificially by the DEA. And I'm wondering if you have anything for people like that.
I haven't finished my thought pattern. My point, what I was trying to get at about the cardiovascular.
Okay.
My hypothesis is that I know that it's very good for your health for a lot of reasons, but also
exercise, you mean?
No, I'm talking about substances like, let's say, first of all, grapeseed extract. It promotes circulation, but also it helps promote healthy.
So is going for a walk. I mean, you probably should also do some exercise, too, right?
I'm not talking about exercise. Look, my point is...
I know you're not talking about it. I mean, I'm letting you know that a pill is only going to go so far.
Okay, look, my whole thing is that all of these things also help with blood sugar level. That's the point I was trying to get. I'm seeing a link here. It's actually a hypothesis.
Well, Sarah is not a doctor. Just want to remind everybody listening, she's not a doctor. She's a network marketer, and she's trying to sell products. So you do have to take, and you should also take doctors with a grain of salt as well, because they're trying to sell different products.
Oh, I got
to
go on a rant after this.
Yeah. go right ahead. Thank you, Sarah, for the call tonight. Go ahead with whatever your rant is.
No, I just want to say, because I look at so many different shows that are online. Right now we were talking, I saw Andrew Tate, and like they have Pearl Davis and others pitting men against women. You have Jesse Lee Peterson, black against white, and so on. The thing is, it's always about the individual. They tell the individual, you're the problem, or you could solve the problem. So corporations, they put out, for example, metric tons of plastic, right?
Yep.
Snapple just switched to plastic. And, like, they externalize the cost onto the environment. But then you're told you can't have plastic straws. You can't have little plastic bags, like, for yourself. And you should recycle, right? And it found out recycling is just shipping out to China. So, like, the government and the corporations, right, they work together. And Sarah just talked about sugar, okay? Look at how much high-fructose corn syrup they put into everything. Look at how the genetically modified crops. If you look at even the fruits now have more sugar that the zoos, the animals can't have that many fruits anymore.
Right, yeah.
So it's like the government works together with these manufacturers and then Monsanto and the GMOs, right? The patent system. Look at how much they have. The restrictions are likely tied to the patent system. That's why in this country, they say, we're going to invent everything. We're going to go after you if you try to do anything, the rest of the world. We are going to invent everything and impose a cost on our citizens. And so the patent system makes everything more expensive to us, right? And that's
sure
why look at the result. So, and this is what gets me the most.
And to tie that back into TJ the Spies, I'll bet you anything that the prescriptions it's harder to get now are the ones that the patent has expired.
Yeah, I mean, basically the patents themselves, if you look at the EpiPen or the other things, it's like the government gives you this monopoly, in this case the intellectual property monopoly, and then these pharma companies, they don't just write the bills like Medicare D, they tell you the government can't even negotiate the prices of these things, okay, in the bill, and then they go in through the revolving door and get cushy jobs back in the pharma industry, right? So now the Republicans are on board because now the Republicans see what's going on with the vaccines, right? But again, anyone can see this, they're pushing you three-year-old product, vaccines that are against the original virus, because they have no market incentive to update it and create the new product. You know who created the new product is the Army. No profit motive. The Army created a vaccine that's against all variants. You don't see that vaccine being pushed.
I hadn't even heard about it.
No. The Army did it a year and a half ago. So my point is, when there's no profit motive and the government isn't like trying to coerce everyone installing Windows 95, you know, 10 years later, they're going to make something better. And same thing with the police. If the police face market competition, there would be something a lot better. So here's my point. And this is a think of the children's argument. You know, people like to talk about the children. The children are being overdiagnosed. Certainly there's children that need Adderall, some of them, and has ADHD. Guess what? Not nearly as many as you think. There's an epidemic in overdiagnosis, okay? They have that also. There's some autism diagnosis have skyrocketed. Also, now they have gender dysphoria. That's what they call it in DSM-5. Used to call it transgenderism. Yeah. Now it's just dysphoria. But the thing is, I'm sure some people, it's acute, but in many cases it's overdiagnosed. And so when the children are getting it because, like you said, they need to sit down and shut up for the case of ADHD, and the boys are boisterous. They used to call it boisterous kids, right? Mm-hmm. They run around and restless. Now they call it, well, that's ADHD for you. So now they basically have to give them literal amphetamines. They're not methamphetamines, but he's right. They're a methyl group away from being methamphetamines. Okay, so the children are being overdiagnosed. Then they grow up and they're teens, right? The teens, the girls, are seeing all this TikTok stuff, right? And the influencers. And they're record levels of depression and sadness in teen girls. And the boys also, they say it's not as much in the boys, but the boys are being, let's say this, when they go to college, they overtake the Adderall because they have to wake up early to be there at 7 a.m. They don't get enough sleep, and then they get all this stuff because the system tells them that's how it's got to be.
Right.
But the real reason why they're all doing this is because both parents have to work, so they have to stick their kids in the school because they can't make the rent. So the system causes the very parents to give up their kids, not give them as much love in those 8 hours, and have these administrators working for the government schools give them all the love. Then you're wondering what's going on with their kids. But I'm not done. Then you have middle-aged people. One in four middle-aged women are on antidepressants.
Oh, yeah.
One in four. Do you think they're all depressed? Again, there's overdiagnosis.
I thought it was much higher than that, but sure.
Yeah, it could be. The men had an opioid epidemic, as you know. There's a lot of shifting things. But again, most of this stuff is upstream. The men with their jobs, okay, they're feeling useless a lot of the time after the 2008 reset, right? So, and the women want a man who makes more than them. So a lot of these dynamics is actually the capitalist system or the market system where the people don't have any safety net anymore. You could see also with the Rust Belt, people voted for Trump. They lost their jobs, the mining towns. So a lot of people need some help. Of course, I'm not even going to mention the elderly they put in nursing homes because your mom took care of you, but you don't have time to take care of your mom because she's in the way of you getting work.
Well, there's always going to be people that need help. I don't think that saying we have to have a monopoly, I don't know if this is what you're saying, a monopoly system is going to help them, right? Because that's what the safety net is right now. It's a government system, one size fits all. And it doesn't fit very well. It's harming people all the time. It destroys lives. It doesn't care. Those people in the government bureaucracies, most of them, they just don't care about the welfare programs that they're administering. They just care about getting their paycheck and their sweet government retirement at the end of the day. So what we need to have, you linked capitalism to the market system. And I personally don't care for that. Yeah, because the markets are free. I mean, the free markets should be if there's a system, it should be free markets. And And unfortunately, we don't have that. And the only way we're going to get that is if we get to get out from underneath this government, this federal government. But Pecos Mountaineer, I know you had some breaking news here tonight that you might want to share about the latest on this federal banking nightmare that we're involved in. What's going on?
Yeah, the Fed and the FDIC are weighing the creation of a fund that would allow regulators to backstop more deposits if more of these banks fail. Because the FDIC only has so much in its fund before the Fed has to start printing extra money for
it. I heard today, I saw a story saying that the FDIC's only got like enough to cover one big bank like this.
Right, exactly. Now, I am betting dollars to donuts that what they're going to settle on is going to at least include a bunch of money that's in the in what they call excess reserves, because they just paid this so-called reverse repo rate, which is basically just a bank for banks. So all of the banks put a bunch of money in the Fed because it was paying them interest. So the Fed's got all this extra money in what they call excess reserves, and I bet you anything that if they're seriously concerned about another bank falling, that they're going to create this fund, and at least part of it, if not all of it, is going to come from the Fed's excess reserves, because they've got like $2 trillion in there.
But they're, right now they're just weighing it, at least, so who knows when or if this is going to happen.
Well, and that's like I was saying, if they just jump in and save this bank, everyone's going to lose faith in the U.S. dollar. But if they like, oh, well, we'll weigh it and we'll make an extra fund so that another bank can at least get some federal deposit insurance so that we don't have to start printing money right away, then it slows down the panic. Because all of this is about panic. I mean, you see the headlines are things like, oh, there's a bank rout. Well, why do they use that word? Because no one uses that word. Now, that means your army's been defeated, and it's tripping over its feet, running in all directions. But people don't use that word, so the media gets to tell you about something without telling you about it. Or they'll be like, oh, this next bank, it's had a 40% slump in its stock price. 40% is not a slump. That is a crash.
Right.
Yeah.
But they don't want to tell you that this is collapsing, or you might know what's going on.
Yeah, it's not like the tech company, like Facebook, had a 70% slide. But it's okay, because Facebook's a tech company. They're not built on confidence. It's not a confidence game, if you will.
Well, and if Facebook fails, no, I mean, most people are going to be fine. But as banks are failing, as we're seeing, these companies are going to have a tough time paying their employees. And for how many weeks, you know, if Chase Bank comes in and comes to the rescue or whatever and picks up this bank's assets and liabilities, then maybe some people will see some money come back. But how long is that going to take? How many people are going to miss a paycheck for how long before, you know, they get their money back? We're out of time for tonight. You can check out Greg over at Intercoin.org.
Intercoin.org.
He's got
an alternative to the big tech.
And Captain Kickass, I presume, maybe people sound here. Nobody. Somebody's coming on tonight on Beer Talk Live.
Okay.
It starts at 10:30 Eastern on watch.freetalklive.com. So stay tuned for that. We'll see you tomorrow otherwise.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.